meeting. It has to finish at about 8 o'clock, so you have 50 minutes properly.
What is this?
Recorded device.
You cannot do it on Yontef, on me.
It's wow.
It's Yontef.
You don't know.
No, you cannot. Maybe put it on the table or something. But
we can put it on the table, but you're going to walk.
So I will not walk. I will sleep. It's okay. No, don't do it, don't do it. That will be too much.
Put it on the table.
But it's not Yontef.
Well, excuse me, it is Yontef.
For you?
Yeah, tomorrow
even
is
Israeli?
Not. Tomorrow is,
tomorrow is not.
No, I will tell the people.
So you understand? Oh, nice.
Bring them close.
Yes.
You will show it.
Put it wherever you want. You want to sit?
Yeah.
You want to sit?
Don't worry.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very proud to have a possibility to introduce a friend of mine, Rabbi Dr. Mikhail Dushinsky, who is going to tell us something about Judaism and magic. Don't be surprised, he is a special kind of rabbi on my eyes and very highly educated, so don't bother to ask him any question you want to. Please, Dr. Dushinsky, you can go on.
Can you come closer, please? Don't sit so far. This gentleman, I think he is a friend. Because friendship, it's something which must be proved. If you don't prove your friendship and friends, I think in all cultures, even in magic kind of cultures, friendship is tested in times of troubles. So I don't know if I passed his test or he passed my test yet, because we know each other like 2 years. He came to me in time of not real trouble, but he asked me to do something. He came to the synagogue quite out of the blue, because he's not such a synagogue goer. And he wanted to pay some tribute. We have custom to say some prayer of somebody who died in the synagogue and somebody of his family. And he really came to do something which is regarded a good deed by the request of his mother, I think, to go to the synagogue and to arrange this kind of prayer. And I happened to be there on that day. I don't go every day to the synagogue. It was a weekday. And I helped him a little bit to arrange what we call a minyan, which is mean 10 men over bar mitzvah, over 13 in 1 day, and he could say this prayer. So, I don't know if you can regard it time of troubles. It was not such a big deal. That's from my side, so I don't know if I passed the test. If he passed my test, I don't know. I always say in Yiddish, mit akrechts. But I think that it's starting to develop. So if you regard yourself friend, I think I will join that. Thank you. Now, and the word friend in Hebrew is already connected with our magic. Because the word in Hebrew is chaver. Chaver, chaver. This root in Hebrew, like in all Semitic languages, you need 3 letters of the root. And these letters of he, be, re, he, ve, re, be, ve have the same phonemic value in Hebrew. It's one of those things which they used to do in the olden days, before you even imagine that magic was there. And it's called in the Torah, Piet, Knihi, Mojishi, how do you call it? Something like that. And it's written there, V'chover Chaver, one who is Chover Chaver. One is the verb, second is the noun. It's nothing to do with chaver, with friend. It's in that verse which tells what are the things which we are not allowed to do and are very much forbidden to us as Jews to go or to listen or to do this chover chaver. What is this chover chaver doing? So when I prepared my lecture, I bought this book, which I will talk about it a bit later. And one of the first things which came up to me is this chover chaver. So this is why I started with you, with this chaver. Chover chaver, something, the meaning, let's say, the, you know, in linguistics, in philology, we always look at the original etymology of a verb, of a word. With my Czech wife, who is better than all of you unless you are from Moravia, in Czech, yeah, because they have more real Czech language. I'm sorry, I don't want to hurt anyone, but that's what I hear from the Czech people. I don't know. I am a foreigner, but I'm married to one. So she has an old book of etymologia. I'm not always it so good, but we use it sometimes. So when you come to etymology, you have to look what is the real field, as we call it, of this chevere chevere, and it's something to do with contact, with connection, with friendship, for example. It's one of these connotations. Coming together. Today they use in the Israeli slang, ani mechubar laze, I'm connected to it. You know, I think it's translated from English. It's drilling me to it. It's leading me to it. That's chover chaver. So what is to do with kind of magic? Chover chaver. So let's see what Maimonides says about it. Because we start with friends and chover chaver. Now who is this Maimonides and what is this book? Maimonides is name of a rabbi that I think some of the people who are interested in magic and Jewish with magic, Judaism with magic, will not like him so much because he's very much against it, anything which is connected with magic. And if so, why do I come here to teach you against magic? Okay, why not? Because I think Judaism is generally against magic. And let's see. Where is this chover chaver? Yeah. So, let me say a few words, I hope not too much, about Maimonides. Moshe Maimonides, Moshe, son of Maimon. So, in the Spanish way, he was born in Spain, the Arabic Spain. It was called Maimonides, or in Latin, son of Maimon. He was a great man. He was also a philosopher, doctor, and he, for us, for the Jews until today, is one of the authorities of the way of life of Judaism, the laws of Judaism, because Judaism is law. Torah means teaching, Torah means instructions. Therefore, the Torah instructs me how to live, what to do, all fields of life. Even what position to do with my wife in bed. They have some good ideas there, by the way. So, this Moshe ben Maimon was born in 1135, I think, and died in 1204 or 5. He lived about 70 years, which is quite a long time in those days. And he was working very hard. and writing books that when you look at it, you can't imagine how this man could draw such amount of volumes. It was really something also appreciated by many non-Jewish people in his generation and until today. One of the greatest figures in Judaism and generally. People tend to forget that apart from his philosophy, the main thing which, when I say Rambam, which is Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, Rabbi Moshe son of Maimon, I don't mean any of his writing about philosophy or about medicine, which were studied even in non-Jewish universities for hundreds of years. I mean only these books of the Halakha, the way of life, the Jewish laws of life. If we have Moshe, Moishish, the one who gave us the Torah through God in this day, because today is the festival of the giving of the Torah, which is called Shavuot. Please write it down, young students there. Shavuot means festival of weeks. The 7 weeks which we count, the 7 weeks which we count from the second day of Passover until the 50th day, which is today. They have it also in Christianity because they took this idea from us and they call it Pfingsten. In Deutsch, I don't know, Pentecost, in other languages, Penta 5, and I don't know how it's called here in Czech. Does anyone know how this festival is called? 50 days after the Easter, after the Velikonoce? Doesn't matter. But you have it. I know that you are not so religious. But you should know its history. Is it connected with 50 somehow? Okay, let's not... No etymology now. You look in your etymology, Moravian things. Or push the button and try to find it in, I don't know, in Atlas or in whatever. So, today is a very important festival for me. So I don't know why I agreed to come on a Jewish festival which I should not work and to give a lecture. But because I believe that this is also teaching of Torah, that's what I'm doing all my life. So it's part of what I should do today, specifically today, because this is the day that Moses gave us the Torah. There is a saying which says, Mi Moshe ad Moshe. There are some people who understand some Hebrew. This is why I do it. You should know a bit more. Mi Moshe ad Moshe, lo kam ke Moshe. Can you translate it to Czech? From Moses to Moses, never arose somebody like Moses. Which means from this Moishish, great Moishish who gave us the Torah. Apropos Moishish, I like it. When the Chanukah comes, the Chanukah period, which is close to the Vaanotze, and you know, you, all of you, you are not religious, but everyone likes the Yeshishek presents. So we as Jews, we cannot do the Yeshishek magic. Yeah? And by the way, at one stage, I know that you don't have this man with the beard, white beard and the red thing, how is it called, the Santa Claus. You don't have in your tradition. You have a better one, a little baby Yeshishek, and you write him letters and put on the window, and you get the presents. Everyone had this here, no? I see no one objects. Hi! That was the first magic today. I always have a problem, because my wife, this Moravian wife, she was brought up here with her daughter, and she has to get some presents for this. They even call it Yeshishek. They don't need Velikonoce anymore. Yeshishek. What do you have for Yeshishek this year? And it's not nice for me as a Jew to say even this word. So we invented Moishishek. So. So, you like that one? It's a good magic, you like it? Shake my hand. Okay, so from our little Moishishek, you remember his story when he was on that little thing in the water and the daughter of Pharaoh saved him and blah blah blah. But he is regarded the greatest man ever in Judaism and also for many others. He brought us the Torah, the law. So from Moshe, who lived, let's say, 3,500 years ago, more or less, because when we talk historically about, let's say, David, Solomon, David, this is about 1,000, quite a round number to remember, 1,000 BCE, and we don't say BC, before Christ, we say before Common Era, we just close our eyes, it's very funny. Common Era. And about 500 years more or less before David was this Moses thing and the going out from Egypt and blah 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 and receiving the Torah under Mount Sinai, which is not blah blah blah. And this is where we are. This is why I'm here as a Jew. And some others here, every third Czech have some Jewish blood already for 600 years, since the Hussites had to hide. Some of them preferred even to become Jews and not to become Catholics back. After all this contra-revolution, yeah, for 200 years. So, from Moses to Moses, never arose some great man like this Moses. So I think it will be nice if we see what he says about Chaver. This book is a book which counts, it's called Sefer HaMitzvot, the book of mitzvot, the book of the commandments, the book of the precepts, and it's divided into two parts, the mitzvot, the commandments which are do, in Hebrew, aseh, and the commandments which are don't. Let's call them the do's and the don'ts, okay? Don't do. Are you with me? Do and don't. Like you know the desatero, you have the thou shalt not steal. You shall not steal. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not covet. Can you explain to them covet, that last commandment? Coveting. Not even want. Not even have the desire to have something which does not belong to you. That's the 10th commandment. On that, the satero. But we have more. The 10th commandment is nothing. We have 613. 10, what gave what you are celebrating. We are not celebrating the 10 commandments. We are celebrating the 613 commandments. And the poems which were in our prayers today, or what we learned last night, all night, until 5 o'clock in the morning, I gave lessons, and there were more, about 20 people sitting and discussing and listening, and dancing and singing and eating and drinking, until the morning. These are 613, quite a burden. 365, nice number, like the solar year. Don'ts, and the rest, easy to remember, 2, 4, 8, do's. Okay? This is basic of Judaism. It's important for you. Don't know how many of you know about it? So why don't you write this one? Anyway, 613, this is a traditional number, which came really like a magic. And how do you count them? When you open the book of the Torah and you start to count. From here and from there, all these commandments, when God says to you, do, or God says to you, don't, it's always a problem to find the 613. Pardon? Yes, please? No. And, no. No, it's okay, because I don't like the Czech way of lecturing and not... If you have some good questions, so don't be shy, because this is...
I guess that's the reason why he wrote the book about that.
Yeah, but he was not the first one to write. And in his introduction, which I just read now, before the lecture, again, it's not the first time that I read it, I'm only 61, and believe me, I read these things before. I like to say that I'm 16, but they're upside down. Anyway, so this man says that I don't like all these poems that these people say on the Festival of Shavuot. It's a wrong counting. And he fights against this counting, and he says, why people are based themselves on some book which was written like about 150 years before him, like maybe more in the 900s, Halachot Gedolot, and he has this sum of counting of the 613, but he said this is very wrong, and these people don't understand, I must write my own. And this is what he wrote. And this became a basic book, an introduction to his monumental work, which he made later. This he wrote when he was like 20, 25. And then he made the big book of 14 big, big volumes, divided to hundreds of chapters and paragraphs. And this is the codex of all the Jewish law. When I say Rambam or Maimonides, that's what I mean, this book. And this he wrote as an introduction, the counting of all the mitzvot. About 40 of them are connected with this anti-magic. Let's learn some of them. So I open the second part, which is the don'ts. You see, this is going from the right to left. The do's are ending here, and here, you see, the don'ts are almost double, see? So, we come to the don'ts, and then he says, in mitzvah number 35, in the don'ts, part number 35, and I translate. This is the, how do you say, I am warning, the warning that we were warned from Lahbor. Do you hear the Hebrew? Which means that he says, somebody that Shloviak says, things that he imagines that they, the saying of these things, are magicking or making such and such, or can make good to something, or can make bad for something by saying some things. Abra kadabra. Yeah? So he says, I'm making blah 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 and da 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 da, and something good will come, or if I say blah 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 boo, something bad will come. We are not allowed to do it. We were warned not to do this chabal. And that's what is written in the fifth book of Moses, chapter 18, 10, 11. What is it? That's a very good question. Moment. Yeah. Moment. Thank you. What is Chover Chaver? He sees a snake going, and he is afraid that the snake is going to... Huh? So he's saying something, and he believes that this saying is what saves him from that, what the snake will do. He believes in it, that this saying, this is what we are not allowed to do. To say it and to believe that this saying is what saving us. Yeah? According to his imagination. Or, after they did it to him, he says something and he thinks that this will heal him. And one who is doing it is getting 39 smacks by the Jewish law on his. Yeah, yeah. These are laws which are written in the Torah. And all the details of what exactly, here he only brings the principle of this chover chaver is brought in the Talmud, which is another huge thing which I will not give you an introduction of, in the Tractate of Shabbat, chapter 7. So you can read it there. All what is exactly. Which means, that's exactly what I want to show you, that they knew. And that's only one of these 30, 40 which I was going to read to you. I don't want to read them all to you. But just some curiosity. We should not, the next one, 36, we are not allowed to go to ask Baal Ov. Do you remember the story when Shaul, Saul, the king, went to this lady and she brought Samuel up by some magic, let's say, and he was speaking with him? It is in the Bible. It is in that same Jewish Bible, Old Testament. And the Torah, generations before, said not to do it. But Shaul, king of Israel, the first king of Israel, did it. So there is a discussion in the Talmud, did he really did it, or did it was only imagination, or did she cheat him, or she did not cheat him? Ah, we come to magic now. What is really this magic? Did she really brought Shmuel, or she just spoke, you know, from her back in the voice of Shmuel, and she made some foo-foo-foo with some, smoke, and it looked like Samuel for him. Thank you very much. I see that you know, but this all what you know, it's Talmudic discussion. Okay, we can sit and study this, I tell you in which tractate and so on. And we can come to our Talmud and study. Then another one. This is something which many magics like to do. Talking with dead people, you know, or the dead speaks to you. So we are not allowed to do this. One of the things which are... Okay, these are only three or four which I brought to you, and there is one specially against magic. I don't know, somebody must help me to translate it, maybe you. Ha'azhara, she'uzharnu mikol ma'ase hakshafim. You know it, it's in Deuteronomy 18. We are not allowed to do any deed of kishuf. Kishuf, kshafim, keshefe, usually is regarded, remember we discussed last time what exactly we translate magic. And this is what is written in Deuteronomy, 5th book of Moses, 18, chapter 18, you should not be in your people somebody who is a magic. And the one who is doing it, he is deserving the punishment of stoning. Unbelievable. So this is Judaism and this is Maimonides. So why do I come here to give you a lecture about magic? Judaism and magic. But now let's do maybe some other things. I love magic because I think that it is there. I mean the idea of some supernature, above nature. Rambam also believes in it. Because the whole idea of the creation of human being is in the beginning of the Torah, that is made of flesh and blood, which is taken from the, like the golem, yeah, from the river, yeah. How God created Adam, he took some sand and then he made into it and it becomes alive. Now what is this which God went into it? This is what we call the spirituality. This is why we can sit here and talk. This is why we can have chaver, we can have friendship. This is all spiritual things. So there is spiritual thing in the world. Excuse me, Mr. Maimonides. But how to use it? So he says, okay. We don't use it if it is connected with anything which is have any delicate touch with something which is not believing in one and the oneness of God. That's the main thing. And by this he explains, not only here, but many of any another tens of commandments of this 600, that we are not allowed to do it because it all developed through a belief in other powers, like the powers of the sea, the powers of the earth, the powers of the rain, the powers of the sun, the powers of other astrologic things. And if there is any kind of belief in these things, and you think and you imagine that from these other powers that they exist, and you believe that they exist, and you derive from them the idea of doing any kind of magic, then it is forbidden. But if it is coming from his own belief on one God, then it is there. Because what is prayer, for example? If big discussion between Maimonides and others, because in the Talmud itself, which is basic book of Judaism, you see that people do believe sometimes in, for example, this astrology. There is one generation after him, a rabbi writes to Montpellier. His name is Rabbi Shlomo ben Aderet. And he says that Maimonides can say what he says, but in the Talmud itself it's written that there are some things which are happening. If you take some kind of a nail and you put it in some way here, and you take the shit of a dog and you do this way or that way, it can help in this thing or that thing. It's written in the Talmud. So how do you solve the problem with these things? So then they start to discuss it, and they come to the conclusion, no conclusions in fact, total conclusions, but that if there is a thing which will draw you to believe, as I said, in other gods, because that was the danger in those days, 2,000, 3,000 years ago, then you should not do it. And this is why the punishments are so strong. Later, when the driving of the Jews towards other worshipping of other idols was not so strong anymore, then they again started to, I wouldn't say believe, but to do all kinds of things. When I was a little boy, young man, very Jewish family, very traditional family, I was not allowed to sit in the corner because I will not marry for 7 years. Do you know that one? Do you know that one? Don't sit in the corner, you are not married yet. And when I cut the nails, I'm just telling you things from my own experience, if it's magic or not. When I cut my nails, I have to be very careful not to let them drop, because if a woman pregnant will press, the child will, you know, go down before time, which is, how do you call it, miscarriage. Yeah? So you have to collect all these things and burn them. I do it until today. But I don't burn them, I just throw them to the toilet. But I'm very careful when I cut them, you know, to collect them together and put them into the toilet. Yeah, yeah. So, you want some more magics like this? There is days in which is good to marry and which is not good to marry. Hours in which is good to marry and which is not good to marry. There is a question in the responsa, which we had the conference, that someone wanted to marry in that and that hour, and then there was a question. Unbelievable. Look at this. Rabbi Avraham Bar Chiya, astrology. You must listen to this. He lived in the beginning of the 12th century, which means 1100 something, before Maimonides, or a little bit in his time. And he says like this, I translate to you. One of my students, very great student, and the people that I love, dear people that I love, came to his canopy, the Jewish way of wedding, on a Friday. It was quite a common to do it on Friday. Why on Friday? Because in the Torah, when God creates the world, just a few hours before, a little bit before the Shabbat enters, it's written, and God looked and heard the whole world, Vehine Tov Me'od. Tov Me'od, very good. So it's good time. If God saw that this time is very good, yalla, let's make the wedding on that day. And but that's not enough that it was Friday, my opinion was to put him on this, on the third day, the third hour of the day. You know, it's not this, third hour from the morning. We divide the hours of the day, light. Now it's about 15 hours light, yeah? 15 or 16. We divide that to 12. You know, this is called this kind of hours. When the people are coming out from the synagogue of the morning prayer, it's quite early, because there is light already at 5 o'clock, so he should marry at about, let's say, 8 o'clock, quite early in the morning. No, not 8, let's say 9, because the hour is longer. Yeah, the hour is about hour and a half, because it's about 15. Okay, it's about 9 o'clock. And he said that I liked it, because this is a specific hour, and now comes astrology, and the moon is controlling this hour. Moon in Hebrew has a beautiful word, Levana, Bila, yeah, white. That's another name of the moon. So it's nice, you know, the bride is always also Bila, yeah? And it is a good hour to start every good thing. Is it magic or not? I'm asking you, is it connected with the subject? The timing of things? Astrologia? I'm asking you, is it? I think yes. Ledat kol ha'olam. The whole world knows it, that this is the time to start good things. On the beginning of the third hour on a Friday. This is the time when the Bila, the moon, is controlling. Fantastic. And it is like this from the laws of the stars. But what happened? Something happened. There was somebody who died in the Jewish community, and there is a big commandment: if somebody dies, everything stops and you have to bury the dead. And not every dead you bury straight away, because if it's somebody who died, so there is also the honor of the family and the honor of the dead, the people will come to his funeral, so you can wait some time. But met mitzvah is somebody who dies and there is no one who will, you know, he didn't have any relatives or anyone who will do it, so it's the obligation of everyone else, me, you, the community, to look after it, that he will be getting the proper ceremony of this. not like we see in Mozart. You say Mozart, that they throw him like this. You remember the film? Yeah, Amadeus. There's nothing like this in Judaism. So something like this happened in the same town, and the people of the wedding, can imagine, people came for this wedding from all over the other ghettos, the other villages. And some of these people were the tops of the community, like the Meisels and the Horvitzes and this, if you know what I'm talking about. And the presidents, and they wanted to do the mitzvah. They wanted to do themselves to bury the dead. But they were also participating in the wedding, and they wanted to do it first. Therefore, the bringing of the bride to this was delayed until they finished all the needs of the dead, and then they came back from the funeral in the end of the fifth hour. Not, they missed the beginning of the third hour, Mr. Pane. And end of the fifth and beginning of the sixth, which is like 1 hour before midday, yeah? So, end of fifth and beginning of sixth, you would like that one? You would like that one? I know. I gave this lecture about magic, about this specific thing in Opava some 8 years ago. Remember, there was sitting somebody and I told him, there is something in Judaism which says that everything which is zug, even couple, is not good. Do you know that? Should be not even. What is the other one? Odd. So the big, even and odd. So one of the magic here is that this beginning of the sixth hour, it's not good. You remember that one was the third hour, which the number even is good. So here we come to numerologia. Ha! Astrologia, numerologia. Isn't it great? All magic in one little story from the 12th century. Now, so first it was a even hour, beginning of the sixth, and it was that minute. Secondly, what controls that hour is not less, but that star, which is called in Hebrew, Ma'adim, Cherven, Mars. That's not such a good sign. It should be white, not red, for this wedding. So we have also not only numerologia and astrologia, but also colorologia. Yeah? You know, the colors also play a lot. Do you see what mixture of magic? And this is a rabbinical discussion. And you tell me, my money says that there is no magic. I'm sorry, I just bring some sources. I'm a professor and a rabbi. I love it. Okay, so let's continue. And this hour was not so soothing in my eyes because of that, you know, ways of the, how do you call it, of the stars, which is like astrology, and also from the mazal, how do you translate the mazal in that meaning, of the tzomeach, of the things which are growing. Another thing, another subject, so something is not good, because the 6 hour for the things which are growing is something also not good in the eyes of this rabbi. So he knew quite a good chapters of magic, this Rabbi Avraham Bar Chiya. You must find this name. Have you heard about him? Avraham Bar Chiya. No, many people don't know, but this professor, this Dr. Avi Harel, who gave this lecture just now in this conference, which I told you, I liked it, I told you, I will have enough fun for you from this conference. So because it was so terrible, I said to him, you know, the poor guy wants to get married to this girl. Now, first he has a funeral. Then he has another bad hour. He missed the good hour in the morning. I'm his rebbe. I am the one who knows everything, also astrology. What shall I tell him? So I told him, you know, because we are already done it late, let's postpone it until this 6 hour will pass. Because it's not so good, this. Even the growing thing, tzomeach, how do you say tzomeach? All the things which are growing, it's called tzomeach, and astrology, and it's Mars. Let's postpone it. Let's sing a little bit. Okay. I want to sing with you. Will you please join me? Because it's my magic is in singing. This is a song which comes from the family of my mother. No words. And you must sing with me. Ya ba boy ba boy boy boom. Join me after the second line. Ya ba ba boy ba ba boy boy boom. Ya ba 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 boy ba boy 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 boom. Ya ba ba boy. Ya ba ba boy ba boy boy. There is a lot of magic in this nigun, please. Hasidic, Kabbalistic. Ya ba boy ba ba boy boy. Close your eyes, then you will not be afraid of your friends. Ya ba ba please. Ya ba 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 boy boy. Please. Ya ba boy ba ba boy boy. No. Ya ba ba boy. Ya ba 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 boy ba boy 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 ba boy boom. Ya ba ba boy. Ya ba ba boy ba boy boy boom. Boy 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 ba boom. Tiri dum bum bum ba. Ta da 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 da. Dai 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 da 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 la 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 la. Why? Why? Tell me why. Tell me why. Why they don't want to sing? It's not nice if I was singing? Huh? They don't?
The simplest reason they don't know the song.
You don't have to know the song. You just have to follow and to go into the atmosphere. That's magic.
Okay.
To go into it. Okay, so let's start the second part. Please, I want you, close your eyes. You will get the magic, believe me. And don't look on each other. Concentrate on the spirituality of this most beautiful, believe me, Kabbalistic music. Tiri yam bam 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 ta e da e da e da e da da ta e da e da e da e da da e da da la 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 da da ta e da e da e da e da da tiri yam la 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 ta e da e da la da 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 da. Okay, I see that the song alone is not enough. I have to give you also a drink next time. Okay? Then you would sing. Anyway, so he continues. You understand, because they were there, they were singing the songs, and he, the rabbi, says, let's postpone it until we finished with this even hour. And then will come the seventh hour. Aha, seven. It's a very good number. Yeah, in all cultures, I think, but especially in Judaism. And he said, this is a separate, specific hour. And you know who controls this hour? The sun, you see? The magic they know. Was I right about the Mars and about the moon? The third is the moon, the fifth is the Mars, fifth, sixth, I mean end of fifth, beginning of sixth, and seven is sun. And this is a time that it is good to start everything. And there is another extra value of it in the astrology, which he doesn't mention. And the man listened to my advice, this young, what's his name, wanted to give the ring to the girl, and he and his friends wanted to wait. It was only 1 hour. They could continue singing, drinking a little bit, not like how Dushinsky you could imagine to make miracles in a Czech environment, singing without drinking. You are not a magic. Amen. Yeah. Unbelievable. Where is the spirituality? It goes with the matter bira, matter beer. Meanwhile, matter of half. Okay. Yeah, you are right. Because we also have it, the drinking, the wine, you know, the wine is very much in Kabbalah and in this. Anyway, so the man listened to my this and he wanted to do it, but there was someone there who didn't like it. And he said that this waiting of this 40, 50 minutes, they were already into the 6 hours, so how long it would take? Maybe 1 clock hour? You remember the hours may be long or short, depends if it was winter or this. He said, this is asking in its tagninut. Its tagnin is the stagnin is Greek word which means how do you call it? Astrologs. And this is not allowed according to the Torah, as we read in the Rambam, in the Halakha, there is, you get a punishment, some of them you get punishment of death, some of them you get, you remember, punishment of stoning. So you cannot make, this waiting is a big sin. Two rabbis, and he is suggesting, why not, let's wait. And Rabboteinu Amru, and our rabbi says, you are not allowed to do it. And the one who is doing it is doing against the decree of our rabbis, etc., etc. And then he brings from the Talmud that there was something, you know, in the olden days they used to take blood from you in order to make you, you know, like cleaning your blood in order to make you, to cure you. I don't know. Azadam. They take some of your blood to cure. That was quite a system in medicine. Even today we are doing it sometimes, but in those days. So in this one, there is in the Talmud some story that when you do this, you should do it in certain hour and things like this. And why this is allowed? Because this was proved by facts that it is working. They don't know why it's working, but it's working. If it's proved that it's working, then it is okay. So this is not asking the astrologers, because it was done already and it was proved. This is the big discussion in the Jewish law. So this man was shouting and shouting that, okay, regarding this, it's written in the Talmud, but only this, not about hours of wedding. That's not written that you are allowed. Therefore, he pushed and he pushed, second time, third time, and he forced the people to make the wedding on the sixth and not on the seventh. I hope that this couple existed after all this thing. I have no idea. That's not, you know, we only know that. So what we learn from here, my friends, and let me summarize it because you told me that we have short time, is that magic is there. There are lots of fighting against it because it is connected and always was connected with with idol worshipping. Therefore, they didn't like to do it. And I... ask you, my friends, to come with questions now, and I will try to answer you. Thank you very much. That was my little joke adding to it. No. It's just this question. This was a quotation from a story which this Rabbi Avram Bachia writes in his books of what we call responsa. Responsa is the questions and answers, shelot u'tshuvot, and he tells this story. So it was brought in this conference, as I told you, but it's only one example, but there were many others like this. Yes. Very good question. Very good answer. I discussed it in one sentence with the Rabbi Sidon last night. And I told him, do we have magic in Judaism? He said, in the Kabbalah Ma'asit, maybe you can call it magic. But he didn't say directly yes or no. About Kabbalah Ma'asit, I can tell you one thing which I think I mentioned when we were drinking. That maybe we could also sing in that pub. And that was that there was a rabbi in the 1600s into the 1700s. The name was Tzvi Ashkenazi. He was traveling quite a lot over the world. Born in Lithuania, Budapest, studying in Salonika, being rabbi in Amsterdam, sometime in London, and ended in Hamburg. And I think he's buried there quite around in the 1600s. A great rabbi, and he wrote book of responsa, which is called Chacham Tzvi. And in this book he writes about a golem which was created by man. And you know what is the story of the golem? Everyone knows, they are Maharal, Rabbi Lev, is making a golem. This we know as a legend, but no one knows. But Chacham Tzvi has a question and answer in his book of law, Jewish law, and he asks, the question was asked, can a golem be counted for these 10 men, which I arranged for my chover chaver? Yeah? Can he be counted for a minion, within something which created by human beings? And then he, as a remark, this Chacham Tzvi, Tzvi Ashkenazi, said that his grandfather, and if I make the account what year it was, so something in the middle of the 1600s, I would say quite a long time after Rabbi Lev, 60, 70 years after him, he says, my grandfather did one. He made one, and it is known that he made a golem. Now, when I go with people around the Jewish world, and when people ask me, Tushinsky, do you believe in the golem? I said, no, I believe in God. Why should I believe in golem? I don't believe in coffee. I believe that this coffee is given to me by God. Because if he did not want, the coffee would vanish by a miracle. We believe in miracles, excuse me. So what is miracles? Magic? No. God makes miracles. God crossed the sea. God made the 10 plagues in Egypt. God made millions of miracles which are written there. God made them. We can pray for a miracle. We believe in spirituality. It's there. But not in magic. So, this coffee is given to me by God. This is why it's so important that before I drink it, I said, I praise you, God, you, and I turned to him directly, my God, King of the universe, because you are the boss. You are making other people kings. King of the universe, who created everything. And only then I drink. When you hear this blessing, you should say Amen. Because when you say Amen, it means I believe in what you said, I agree with what you said, and it is counted as if you yourself said the blessing. And you are, by the way, in a way, better than me. Why? No, Mathematica. It's not astrology. Why you are better than me? By the way, it's written on the wall of the Staronova Synagoga. Greater is the one who responds Amen from the one who says the blessing. Why? No? Mathematica, you are the genius. Why is the one who says Amen better than the one who says the blessing? I think it's very simple. Because the one who says the blessing, he only said it, and he said it once. The one who heard it, the hearing, is like he himself said it, because spirit from mouth, if you say, if someone not hears, so the hearing is regarded as the same. It's very important in magic, isn't it? So the one who hears it is regarded as if he also said it. That's one. And then he also says Amen. So he's like said it twice. So this is why he's greater. But there is one more reason. I said it as a praise to God because I wanted to drink it. And it's like I bought it from him by saying the blessing. Yes, God, it is yours, but thank you for giving it to me. But you only say Amen. You didn't even have a zip from it. So you just praise God. So you are, of course, greater in the spirituality of it. You like that one? Good, thank you. It's not mine. It's not mine. I don't remember by whom I said it. Anyway, so this is a little bit answering to you, but can you repeat your question again? Yeah, so Kabbalah Ma'asit. So yes, of course, Golem was created. I don't remember what was the answer. It's in Chacham Tzvi 93. I will look tonight on the computer again. I think that in the end they decided it cannot be counted, but I don't remember the logic reason in it. But the very question, as you say, from the very question you can learn that it was there. And he tells that my grandfather did one. Looks to me funny. So do you believe in Golem? Yes, I believe in Golem. I believe in the power of people, great people, to use these powers which God gave us to do things like this, what we call Kabbalah Ma'asit. Oh yes, I believe in that. Because otherwise, what is my prayer? What is blessing? Why every Friday night I bless my kids? And I say to them, may God bless you and keep you. What is blessing? What is when I say to you, you know what I like in the Czech culture? I lived in one of these communist blocks. I call them the communist houses in Ostrava. And everyone says to the other, Dobri den. Very nice. You don't know each other, but you go by the lift, 12 stories. Dobri den, Dobri den. Now, think about this Dobri den. What is this Dobri den? You take from the power of speech which God gave you, you contribute to the air of the world 2.5 minutes of your life, of the power which is your spirituality, and you give it to somebody else. You share it with somebody else. Chover chaver. This is the real chaver which I like. You see, you give. You say, Dobri den, I like it. You know, sometimes we do it so. Dobri den, Dobri den, Dobri rano. Dobri večer, thank you, dikuju, dobro noc, very nice. Think about it. This is what makes us different from animals and from magic. Sorry that I'm not so much for magic. Maybe I should go to another meeting of magic people and see and get excited. You must invite me once. Promise me to do it, please. Anyway, what is this, for example? This is magic or not? No? What do you think? Tzitzit is magic?
Tzitzit. Oh, it's religion.
What does it mean, religion? Judaism, it's not religion. It's not religion.
So the Torah commandments, you mean is magic? If it were so, why it is not stated there?
No. Okay. You are very right. If I want to be very logic and very Aristotle, you know, way of this, then I only go according to what I think is logic, although we know that it cannot be only logic. There is something which is called paralogic or ultra-logic or whatever. He knew about that. But you know how many symbols and how many numerical things and how many things you have in this? So, can you make magic with this? Try once, maybe. Bring a tzitzit and make a magic. I know at least one man here was making magic with his tzitzit. He's controlling the whole community. With a kashrut, he put the tzitzit on, everyone is afraid of him. See? Anyway, yeah, it's quite magic. Any other questions? Yes? When you want some sources.
The name of the books you prefer, you recommend.
About magic?
No, about your meaning.
Uh-huh. Listen, this is when I would just, if I were you, I would push the button on my computer, in Czech even. There is a lot of things about Judaism. And then after you have a short list, write me email and I tell you which one is better or, you know, for sources. But there is, for example, a book which is sold here, which is called Judaism Od A Do Z. Then you can learn a lot about Judaism there. I knew the man who wrote this book. And it's quite a good one. Translated to Czech from English and Hebrew. So this is giving you basic in Czech about Judaism. Then there is also, but if you want specifically on magic or on Kabbalah, things like that, then you have to go to him and he will give you a list on Kabbalah, this gentleman, or this gentleman. But there is one book, on Kabbalah, which came recently, 2 years ago, translated from Hebrew, more the scientific research of Kabbalah, you know, by Moshe Idel, Professor Moshe Idel, it was translated to Czech. That's quite a good one. But I don't know if it's for beginners or for what kind of interest you have. But there is a lot to learn. There is no end to the study of Judaism. I still do, all my life.
So, Colin, thank you very much.